I fall, I will arise. Which will be coming up there in a moment or two. About 20 years or so ago, I went to a Kenneth Copeland conference in Bournemouth. And it was the first time I'd been to one of those conferences, and a guy called Jerry Savelle was speaking. Is he good, is he? Do you know what? It's one of those conferences which sticks in your mind. You know, over the years, I've done this hundreds of conferences, and just occasionally there's bits that you remember from a conference which stand out. And, well, this was one of the conferences. And Jerry Savelle spoke on this actual phrase, "When I fall, I will arise." And I've not spoken on it since, and yet as he was speaking, it was one of those words which just really resonated with me at the time. And he was going through all sorts of different aspects which happen in people's lives, but like Micah the prophet, and that's where the verse comes from, he would say, "But you know, as I get knocked down, I determine in my heart, when I fall, I will arise and keep going and fulfill what God's called us to fulfill." And that's what I just want to touch on today. Persevering, pushing through, regardless of situations or circumstances, to fulfill God's call. I'll be with us. We are. Right. Okay. Hebrews 12, first of all. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, says this. I was trying to time myself, but it's not working, so somebody's going to have to shout. Somebody will, thank you. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." And one other scripture from 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins." A couple of scriptures there as a backdrop to what I want to talk about, and I will come back to certainly the Hebrews passage a little bit later on. The second passage there from Peter talks about great and precious promises which God has given. And I'm sure there's many people sitting here in this room today who've had words spoken over them, words confirming your destiny in God, words of encouragement, promises of his love and his faithfulness, promises of a calling, of a vision, which maybe is even impossible but for God. Great and precious promises spoken over us. And Peter says we have these great and precious promises. But in that list of things which he says we need to apply into our lives, he includes perseverance if we want to be effective in bringing them about and realizing them in our lives. Many years ago, even before I went to the Kenneth Copeland Conference, many years ago, I had a couple of words just in a short space of time about speaking to nations. And it just seemed like incredibly bizarre and way out beyond my experience or even expectation at that time. But I've got to say, over the last 10 years or so, I don't think that word's completely fulfilled, but I've had opportunity to go to many nations and to receive as well as to give in many nations. That word which was spoken over me has begun to happen. Actually, and I don't want to sound boastful, I've had a couple of other opportunities to go to different nations, which I'm declining. And the reason I'm declining is because I have another promise, another vision, which I believe the Lord has spoken over us. And that's to see LifeSpring built into a strong church, which is making a difference. And this is my main commitment is here. And I believe God's imparted vision and a heart which has enormous potential to make a difference. A vision of a church of hundreds or even thousands of Christians meeting as one church in cells and in 12s across Reading, impacting many areas of society. And just today hearing, what's her name? Anne, and Paul's thing, and then what Eloise is doing. You know, these are members of LifeSpring, which are wanting to impact and make a difference in society. And I think, you know, my vision, my heart, what God has given us is that we want to be a church that makes a difference. And the difference doesn't come in these walls here. The difference comes by people like Eloise getting hold of a passion and running with a vision which God's given her. And we see where it's appropriate we can get behind and help and support. And the same with Anne, and the same with Faith, and the same with so many other initiatives which are happening through the church. A vision of a church being healed and whole, emotionally and spiritually, so we can minister his love and his healing to a hurting world. I was saying in the prayer meeting earlier on today, the chief executive of the council and others are looking more and more to the church and even asking and we're putting on stuff together because they know that they can't meet all the needs. And we know that we've got something to offer and to contribute. And I think we're living in a society, and in fact, it wasn't at the meeting, but the chief executive said this, the good days have gone. And somebody said, well, how long are they gone for? And he said, at least a generation. You know, the good days have gone in his mind. It's time for the church to rise. It's time for the church to come and fill gaps which people have assumed in the past would be met. We haven't got the funds to meet them. But the church is the hope of the world. There's a heart, there's a vision which God's given us. A vision of moving, of impacting society with words, with works, and with wonders. That supernatural dimension God wants us to bring in. That's why we're having fire starters. It's not just as a separate little course which is going to tickle a few people and make them happy, because we want to impart to those that want to be imparted to that supernatural dimension that they can make a greater difference in society. There's just 20 places, by the way, so if you want to go, you need to book up fairly soon for that one. So these are some of the words which have been spoken over us. I want to remind you of another word spoken over us when LifeSpring was formed. Graham Cook said this, I believe this is going to be a counselling, deliverance and healing centre where you will see people coming into this place who are completely beaten by life, overtaken by life, by circumstances. They're in bondage, they're broken, they're hurt. That means there's going to be a very strong spirit of warfare in this church. God is calling us to fight. And he goes on, that's what we've done, and that's why we're agreeing together. God has spoken words over us. And I believe Door of Hope, Jim and Heather, to some extent, is a fulfillment of that word. But it's much bigger than Door of Hope. Everybody that comes in, God wants to bring to a place of healing and wholeness in him. Because so many of us have come from stuff which is, which we just need healing from, that we might make a greater impact for the purposes of God. I'm sure you've got many prophecies and promises spoken over you too. And the scriptures which I've read say one of the things, if we're going to see them fulfilled, is we need to persevere. Obviously, Hebrews 12 follows Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11 talks about this great cloud of witnesses. Amazing men and women. If you look back in that previous chapter before the verses we read, you'll see stories, of amazing men and women who did incredible things for God. And the author says, because of this, therefore, in view of all these great examples, let us persevere and push on and get hold of that which God has got hold of us for. And I'm going to just take a few moments to look at one of the examples in chapter 11, and that's Joseph. I could have chosen Abraham, I could have chosen Moses, I could have chosen David, but I've chosen just briefly to look at Joseph as an example of somebody who had a dream and a call on his life. And though there were so many setbacks in his life because the hand of God was on him, that plan and that purpose which God had was completed and fulfilled. And I want to share this example because some of you might be feeling setbacks in your life. Some of you might be feeling there have been struggles which have come. It might seem like you've taken one step forward and two step back. But if God's spoken and you remain obedient and persevere through, you will see the destiny and fulfillment of that word spoken over you. And that applies to us as a church too. Because God has spoken over us, as we remain obedient and humble and move forward in his ways, we will see the accomplishment of that too. So Joseph had a dream. He would seem fairly arrogant in his youthfulness, in his zeal and his youthfulness. And he told his dad and his family the dream about there'd be a day coming when they were all going to bow down before him. And you could understand that if you said that to your brothers, they might not be overly impressed, especially as most of them would have been older than you. But he had this dream. And I'm not sure that he handled it all that well in those early days, but God had spoken something into his life. He knew that he was destined for greatness. There was a sense of God's call on his life. He didn't, dreams is the language of the Holy Spirit. And so God was showing him stuff in his early years. And actually, at that time or later, gave him the gift of interpreting other people's dreams as well. He was a supernatural person. He was a spiritual person living in that spiritual realm. And so God gave him this dream. And it was a dream for salvation. It was a dream which was going to be fulfilled in a different country. Not that Joseph knew it at that time. But he knew he was destined for greatness. So he had a dream for his life. And I want to ask you, do you have a dream? Do you have God's dream for your life? Do you have something which gets you up in the morning? Do you know God's vision and his call for you? You see, it's hard to push on and persevere if we don't have a dream. But I realize that not everybody has a dream. And my bit of advice to you is follow somebody else's. Support them in their dream. Be part of their dream, which will give you something to get up for and to move forward for and to persevere in. God wants to give each one of us dreams and visions to fulfill because he's got a call on our lives. We read in Hebrews, Jesus endured much because he had a dream. This is what it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. For Jesus, the prize, the joy, was people like you and me. Across the whole of this earth, over generations, coming to know him. That barrier which separated us from God was being broken down through the cross. And Jesus said, it's worth going through this pain barrier. It's worth suffering this awful abuse and torture because I can see what this is going to lead to. I can see heaven fall. I can see people which would never have known God coming to God because of the suffering which I'm going through. It's worth it to pay the price. So I got a dream. And because he had that dream, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So Joseph, he sensed that call of God on his life, and he knew God's favour and blessing. But at a young age, maybe in his teens, his brothers decided, enough's enough. Let's get rid of this dreamer. You know, I know dreamers can be irritating. Visionaries can be irritating, especially if you want to settle and just be happy. And somebody keeps talking about more, and there's more to come, and there's this, and there's that. And in the end, maybe some of us feel like Joseph's brothers. Shut up. I'm just happy as I am. You know, don't mess my life up. You know, I'm quite content with what I've got. Well, Joseph's brothers felt very similarly, and they decided it was time to get rid of him. Just before I move on to what actually happened to Joseph, there's a verse from Proverbs which carries a risk. I was thinking, you play Monopoly, it says pay £10 or take a chance. Well, this verse is a bit like that to me. And this is the verse. Proverbs 13:12 says this. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Glasses again. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And for some of us, we're so frightened of more disillusionment, more disappointment, we don't want to dream again. We don't want to expect again, because we've experienced that first part of the verse. Hope deferred makes us sick in the heart. That's the only bit part of the verse I've ever heard preached on. But the next part of the verse says this, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. When that vision is fulfilled, when that hope is fulfilled, you don't feel sick. There's rejoicing. There's happiness. There's glory. There's a sense of, wow, we've done it, Lord. Thank you for your hand. And life comes out. And when you hear people's visions and stories and the testimonies which we hear, doesn't it bring life? Because we've risked it. We've risked risking a sick heart that we might get hold of that which God's called us for and experience that fulfilling and that life which he has for us. So coming back to Joseph, rather than kill him, they sold him to a slave, some Midianite merchants, and they sold him to an Egyptian officer called Potiphar. And you can hear the voice of the enemy saying, Joseph, aha, what about your dream now, Joseph? What about your family? Yeah, you're in slavery, they're all free. You're in a captive land. What about your destiny, Joseph? What about the vision, Joseph? What about all those dreams? Bye-bye, dreamer. It's all gone. You can hear the tormenting voices. I can think the brothers would be singing or laughing back on the way. You know, that dream is gone. But God was still with Joseph. Scripture says. Although a major setback in the natural, not part of God's plan, God hadn't given up. He was still with Joseph. And he persevered. And maybe Joseph felt similarly. Maybe he felt, Lord, I'm sure it was your dream. I'm sure I'd caught your heart. I know your words are faithful and true. I don't understand what's happening. My brothers were all going to bow down to me, but here I am now as a slave in a different land. But Genesis 39:2 says this, but God was with him. And I believe as he came round to his senses, he would have felt, but I still sense your presence, God, even as a slave in this strange person's house. God will fulfill his calling and his destiny. It's a setback, but I will not allow the enemy to steal my destiny. When I fall, I will arise. And God blessed Joseph, promoted him in his master's house, his responsible position. Everything was really going really, really well. Then Potiphar's wife took a fancy to him. She wanted to sleep with him, and she kept trying to seduce him. Come on, Joseph, I know you fancy me too. My husband's away. No one need know. And she pushed herself towards him and tried to pull him to the bedroom. And Joseph was a righteous man. And Joseph said, no, there's no way. You know, my master trusts me with everything in this house. I'm not going to let down my master. And she would try and try to seduce him and to bring him back to the bedroom. And in the end, he ran away from her and humiliated. She turned the whole story round and told everybody else that he tried to rape her. And when his master heard this, of course, he was flung into prison. God, where are you? What's happening? I didn't want to mess up with this woman because I knew there was a call on my life. And even making the right decision and the right choice, I'm still here in prison. Where are you, God? What about the dreams? What about the vision you gave me? Yet another setback. Do you know the feeling? I did last week. We had plans for last week. I felt the Lord had told us, find 2 12s, lay a foundation, rebuild the altar. And I thought we'd done it. And then on Thursday, just before Swedish pastors came over, one from my 12 was just uncertain about what was about being part at that time. And what I thought was complete wasn't. And we didn't go forward with the prayer. And I could also be asking those same sort of questions. Where are you, Lord? What's happening? What about the dreams? What about the vision you gave me? I'm just trying to be faithful. I'm just trying to be obedient. It would be much easier to drop it all and just do my own thing, but I have no release to do that. And then I remembered Micah's words too. When I fall, I will arise. Okay, I'll start again. And just somebody, as I came in last week, they said to me, Neville, put their arm around me. She said, you will get the 2 12s. And I just knew. I know. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose. It will happen. That which the Lord has started will be completed. Now, for you, there might be many different situations. And I want you to just hold on to these principles too. That which the Lord has started, if we remain faithful and obedient and humble, He will complete, because that's His plan and that's His purpose for each one of us. So don't give up on your dream if it's God's dream. You can't afford to. It's your destiny. It's your calling. It may not be easy. There may be setbacks. But we're going to keep going, aren't we? And we're going to persevere and push through. So Joseph's in prison. Interprets the dreams for a couple of prisoners. And he says to them, as one of them was going to die, the other one was going to live. And he said, remember Pharaoh to me. And the butler was so thrilled that he was going to live. He said, of course I remember Pharaoh, completely forgot. 2 years went past. And to cut a bit of a story short, Pharaoh had some dreams. They needed to interpreting. They needed some interpreting. And all of a sudden, the butler remembered, there's Joseph, he's in prison. He will be able to help out here. And to cut a long story short, Joseph was brought out, interpreted the dreams, and Pharaoh was so impressed, he made him second over all of Egypt. That wasn't in Joseph's mind. That wouldn't have been in Joseph's thinking. But God was with him. God was working his purposes and his plans out. And some of you will know the story. That I don't know if it was months, well, years. No, it was within years, wasn't it? Because he had to store all this wheat because the dreams were saying there's famine coming. And famine hit the whole of the area. And Joseph's brothers and family, they became hungry because famine had struck them too. And eventually they came to Egypt one by one. Eventually the whole family came to Egypt. And without knowing who Joseph was, they all bowed down to this ruler. And he gave them food. And eventually dad came too. And the whole of the family was saved because God had a plan through that young man, Joseph. And Joseph remained obedient to the calling of God on his life. All those setbacks which came into his life, but he remained faithful. And the promise was fulfilled. Hallelujah. And just as I was thinking about that, you know, it was a promise of salvation. And I think for some of us here, you know, the dreams which we have, the dreams that God has put in our hearts are all part of a church which is dreaming to make a difference in this nation in which we live. And for Joseph, the whole call was, it resulted in salvation was coming. And I think if some of us put our dreams down too quickly and don't push ahead, there'll be many out there which never hear the gospel. There'll be many out there which never have the opportunity to know there's a God that loves, there's a God that cares. There's a God that will give us grace to push through and to work through, to overcome setbacks, that we might live that life which He's called us to live. Abundant life. Hallelujah. So don't let go of your dreams. We need to persevere. And Joseph's dream became true. Many setbacks, many disappointments, much misunderstanding, but God was with him. Hebrews says this: let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. There's a race marked out for each one of us here. Let us run with perseverance and fulfill it. Throw off your hindrances. Throw off those disappointments. Throw off those seeming failures. Don't let setbacks set you back. But rather, with the prophet say, when I fall, I will arise. Amen? When I fall, I will arise. Somebody sent me this little tweet during the week, which I thought was a brilliant one, from Brian Houston. Don't allow yesterday's disappointment to frame tomorrow's expectation. The best is still yet to come. And that's from a guy who's a very successful big church organization across the world, thousands and thousands gathering in Australia and across the world under the Hillsong banner. And he's the architect and apostle behind that all. And he says, yeah, don't let the disappointments of the past affect your future. The best is still to come. I want to believe that. I want you to believe it for each one of us too. Hallelujah. I'm just going to close the next few minutes. First of all, some scriptures, and then some helps I want to give us about helping to persevere. Just some scriptures. Here's James. James 1 verse 2 says this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. You sort of think he's got tongue in cheek, don't you? When you face trials of many kinds, consider it pure joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. You see, if we've lost focus, any trial, any difficulties come to us are just that. But when we realize that God allows stuff into our lives to develop character and perseverance, that which he's called us to might be fulfilled, I can begin to understand what James is talking about. I forget which song, Rob, at the end. I'd like us to sing the song that says, all things work together for good again. But that song there, it talks about, not right now, but in a minute. It talks about that trust in God. You know, that whatever comes, all things work together for good to those that love him. Later on in James, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Romans 5, verse 3, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, here we go again, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God has poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We all need to get a grace to persevere and to push on through, regardless what comes our way, to fulfill that which God has for our lives. And so I just want to give you now five little tips, helps to persevere, which I think will be, hopefully you'll find helpful. Number one, remember his word. His word will never fail. Remind yourself of what he's been said. I haven't got my Bible here, but the Bible is full of the promises of God. For those on my tape, it's on my chair. It's not that I haven't brought it to church. It's full of the promises of God. And we need to read those. And remind, I've just been looking through Psalms recently. It's been a blessing to me. As the blessing and the promises of God. But also, the visions which God has given us. Write them down. This little booklet says something about LifeSpring's vision. And sometimes it's worth looking at and you're thinking, well, we're not there yet. We're not quite making it. But this is where we're going to go. And we've got something written down. Habakkuk was told, write down the vision so you can run with it. And sometimes when it's when those words come and we're going through hard times, we need just to recall and bring back to mind, read scripture, read those prophecies again which God has spoken over to us, so that we hold on, we persevere, and we push through. Number two, trust in God. He is always faithful, always loving, and always good. Is that right? Yeah. Always faithful, always loving, and always good. His ways aren't always our ways, give him that. And when setbacks come, we put our faith back in the God who who's always faithful, always loving, always good. He never lies. He doesn't dangle carrots, which will never be fulfilled. As we respond to him, he wants to reward us with the blessings which he wants to give us. So trust God for your family. Trust God for your finances. Trust God in whatever situation you're going through. I loved it when Pastor Leonard last week, that was his wife, said, I think it was him, he said, no, when people ask, do you blame God? Do you ask God questions about why your 26-year-old daughter died? He said, I've not even gone there. Not even asked the question. God's God. He's my God. And I trust him completely. And you know, and he explained how he saw that particular situation. I like that. I love that, actually. There was a trust. And when I was at that funeral, it was a few months ago, it was the most glorious funeral I've been to, with tears and everything else, of course, and emotion, but just an absolute certainty that God's in all of this. And bet good will come out of all of this. And he will be honoured and glorified. And the whole focus was on that, that God will be glorified through this untimely death of his young daughter. Helps to persevere. Number three, stand firm. So many scriptures talk about standing firm. Here's two. Who says this? By standing firm, you will gain life. I wouldn't have known either. Jesus said that. In Luke, you'll find it there. By standing firm, you will gain life. That's what Jesus said. Paul says this, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. There are so many scriptures. Stand firm. Stand firm on what you believe. Stand firm on what you receive. Don't let the enemy push you. Stand firm. When I get up, when I fall, I will arise. And I will continue, because he's called me to stand firm and push forward. Number four, focus on what God is doing and not on what he isn't. If you want to persevere, focus on what God is doing and not on what he isn't. British mindset, we just default to the negative. The Bible, one person Jesus heals out of scores around the Pool of Bethesda. And what do we read about? The one person that Jesus got healed. No mention is made of the scores of others which weren't healed, because the Bible focuses on what God is doing and not on what he isn't. Why weren't they healed? Why weren't this that? I don't know. But one person was very happy because he was healed and God met his needs. We've got to learn to do the same. Let's focus on the good things. Let's focus on what God is doing. And that will give us help us to persevere through. Colossians 3 verse 1 says this, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. We need to be seeing from heaven's perspective more, don't we? We need to be seeing what he's doing, seeing it through his lenses rather than through our own. Because when we do that, we can very easily lose faith and go off track. And the last one, to help us persevere through whatever situation is. Number five, encourage one another. Encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. You know what? We all need encouragement. When that person just put their arm around me as I came through Sunday morning last week, it just ministered something of God's love and faithfulness to me. We all need encouragement in whatever circumstances or situations. And if we're going to have a grace to persevere and push on through, it really is helpful to know that others are coming with us and are rooting for us and are praying for us and running with us. Hebrews 3 says this, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. It's easy for that to come in when discouragement comes. But encourage one another daily. So the answer to not having a sinful, unbelieving heart because of disappointment is we encourage one another daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We've come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly, that's that standing firm, to the very end. So encourage each other. Look out for ways to encourage each other daily. to stand together, to pray together, and to be for each other. And one last scripture to close with. Maybe, Rob, you'd like to begin to come and with your band, please. Hebrews 10 says this, verse 35, "Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded." You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. Hallelujah. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. So when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Do you know what I'm looking forward to? Yes, I'm looking forward to hundreds of people finding salvation. Yes, I'm looking forward to the gospel and everything else. But the most I can do, I can't bring all that about. All I can do is be faithful. All I can do is be faithful and obedient to the calling of God on my life. All you can do is to be faithful and obedient to the calling of God on your lives. And what I'm looking forward to, having persevered through, is getting that reward at the end of my days. And part of that reward, I really, really hope, will be to hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. You pushed through, you persevered through." You know, in Hebrews, people died not having received that which they were expecting. And they were all commended for their faith. Some supernaturally received everything around them. Others, they didn't receive it. And yet the scripture commends them for being men and women of faith. If I don't even see what I'm longing for and dreaming for, at least I want to die believing and die being faithful to that which I believe God's called us to. And I want us as a church to be able to say the same and do the same. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Rob, I wonder if we can sing "Your Love Never Fails." I can't quite remember the whole thing now, again. And I just want us to sing this song. And yeah, it is declaration, but it really is a confession. And I just want us to receive that assurance from him as we sing this. And one of the lines said, you know, can we stick the lines up? I think it's second verse, Claire. Something like something deep and dark and... maybe the next. There may second be pain verse. In the night, but joy comes in the morning. When the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. This is a song to allow the Lord just to minister to each one of you. It might be dark for you, it might not be dark for you, but God loves you just the same. Let's stand to sing this together and we'll declare all things work together for good to those that love him.
Just a quick word of encouragement to you. I've had two prophecies over my life, and one of them was that I was going to marry my wife, Trudy, and it took me 3 years.